Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a bit snarky about all things books. If you like the show, I'd really love your support. Spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts, or get bonus podcast episodes by supporting the podcast on Patreon. There's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Let's get rolling. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a mini episode of Sarah's Bookshelves Live. Mini episodes feature book bloggers, Instagrammers, or regular readers that apply to be on the show and focus solely on book recommendations. I've got a quick announcement today before we get to our guest, and that is I have a survey up on my blog all about the podcast. The podcast has been on the air for just over a year now, and I really am looking for y'all's feedback. I want to see if we're on the right track and if we have areas we need to improve and how I can really make the show what you all are looking for. So it shouldn't take too long, and this is your opportunity to be able to anonymously tell me what you think of everything. And I really want your honest, honest feedback, and just know that I won't know who said what, and I'm not going to be offended. I really take all of this feedback critically and try to use it to make the show better. There's a link in my Instagram bio and in the show notes, so I really appreciate you taking a moment to fill out the survey. Today's guest is Julia Spence, and she is known on Instagram as Game of Reading. Julia is an actuary at an insurance company in Boston. She's been an avid reader since grade school, and she reads more than 200 books a year. And as a patron of the show, Julia got bumped to the top of the waiting list to be a guest. Welcome, Julia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about your reading taste.
I read a lot. You mentioned over 200 books a year, which sounds crazy, but I just love reading, and I've been reading for so long that it's like any sport, practice makes progress. So I'm a really fast reader now, so that's why I can read so many books.
Do you think you've hit your 10,000 hours to make you an expert in reading now, per Malcolm Gladwell?
I think so.
I think we probably all have, right?
Yeah. At this point in life, yes.
Yeah.
But I really like all the popular books. I'm pretty heavy into Instagram and book clubs on Facebook, so I keep up to date with like the newest releases and what's popular. But one thing that I really enjoy doing is when I find a new author, I love going through their backlist and reading some of their older books. And it's really cool to see how the author develops from their earlier works to their more recent works, especially for popular authors now.
I love that you do that. And I do it a little bit, but I also just don't have a ton of reading time for backlist in my life. But every December, I do make the time to read backlist, and usually the first backlist books I pick up during December are ones by an author who I read for the first time earlier that year. So I did that this year with Sally Rooney. I read Conversations with Friends, which was her debut in December, and that was after loving Normal People earlier in the year. So who are some authors recently that you have done this with?
So recently, I've been kind of on like a police detective kick.
Ooh.
I just finished, there's a new one that just came out in 2020, but Lisa Gardner's books.
Oh, yes.
And I love the D.D. Warren series. So that's one that I've just recently like almost completed, but the newest release, I think it was this year or late last year. I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Do you ever find yourself, given you have this habit that you enjoy, do you ever find yourself avoiding debut authors because they don't have a backlist that you can then go dive into?
No, not really. It's more of just when I find an author that I like, I then go and look at their backlist. I don't specifically look for an author that has a big backlist.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about the types of books you love.
I really like thrillers, you know, like the psychological thrillers. There's so many out there now. So I find myself being a little pickier on like which ones I'm going to read, because otherwise there's too many. You can't read them all out there.
I think you have to be picky with them.
Yeah. Also, like a little surprising for people that know me in real life, I really like romances, which is kind of strange because I'm not like a romantic, mushy, gushy person in real life.
So Valentine's Day is not like the end all be all for you in real life.
No, I actually like hate Valentine's Day. My husband and I do not celebrate it. But like a romance story, like I will get sucked into that. And it's kind of strange. No one would expect that from me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then also contemporary fiction, like popular books and authors that are out. But like, I'll really read almost anything I'll give a chance. There's like some historical fiction that I really have loved that has surprised me. I like to do nonfiction, but I do that. I prefer nonfiction in an audiobook format.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. I just like having someone talk to me. It's like listening to a podcast almost.
Absolutely. I totally feel you on that. All right. Should we get into your book recommendations?
Yes, let's do it.
As usual, Julia is going to share two old books she loves, two new books she loves, one book she did not love, and one upcoming release she's excited about. All right, tell me about the first old book you love.
So the first old book I love is one of my favorite books that I've read. It's Love in Other Words by Christina Loren. And this is like a romance book that no one in my life would expect me to love. But it's about a first love when you're young, growing up, and then like a second chance later in life. It has a really good back and forth between the past and present. And the character development was, I thought, phenomenal. And what I liked about this is that it's romance, but it's not too light of a romance, but it's not too heavy. It like has a good balance between the two.
Right.
I loved it. I read it in one sitting, one Saturday afternoon, I think.
Oh, those are the best.
Yes.
I've never read Christina Loren. And y'all, just so you know, Christina Loren is actually a writing team. It's two women and their first names are Christina and Loren. So just so y'all are aware of that. And in an upcoming episode, I'm going to have another writing team on the show. And that is Sarah Pekkanen and Greer Hendricks, the authors of most recently, You Are Not Alone. And so we're going to talk about co-writing and that process and how it goes for them. And their process is a little different than most co-writing teams' process. So that was a tangent. What I meant to say when I started this tangent was, as I read the premise of this book, I kept thinking Sweet Home Alabama, because the female main character, you know, she's accomplished in life and in this very stable engagement that is, you know, checks all the right boxes. And then all of a sudden her like first love comes back into her life and shakes things up.
I didn't realize that until you said it, but that's absolutely true.
Oh, good. All right. I'm glad that that was not completely off base. And how did you feel about, you said there were two timelines, one back when Macy, the main character, was young and in her first love relationship, and then another one in present day. Some of the reviews on Goodreads mentioned that the timeline of when she was actually with her first love felt a little bit YA. Did you feel that way, or did you feel like that was not really the case for you?
I could definitely see why people felt that way. I personally enjoy YA, so it wasn't like a deterrent to me. But if you're not into YA, I could see how kind of comes across that way, because they are so young and in that first love type of relationship.
Gotcha. So that was Love in Other Words by Christina Loren, and that came out in April of 2018. Tell me about the second old book you love, which I also loved, y'all.
The second book is 19 Minutes by Jodi Picoult, and she is my absolute favorite author. I always loved reading, but it took me quite a while to get out of the YA genre, like older than I care to admit, and get into adult. But it was her books that really like pushed me into the more adult genres. So there's always a special place in my heart for Jodi Picoult's books. But 19 Minutes is about a high school shooting, which is a hard topic to talk about, to read about. But I think Jodi Picoult just delves into it so deeply. And you could tell that she really researches the topics beforehand and doesn't just throw words out there. I think she had mentioned that she interviews with people who have gone through the similar situation. So it's done in a very authentic approach to a very, very hard topic. But I really love her books. I love at the end, there's always a little twist that you don't see coming, but that's not completely unrealistic. And I think something about 19 Minutes that has really stuck with me is that although it was written in 2007, I mean, 13 years later, and unfortunately, it's still a topic that, you know, we haven't fully resolved or gotten rid of. So I think it's important that even though it's an older book, it's still very unfortunately relevant today.
Unfortunately, so many school shootings have happened since 2007 when this came out. But to put it in perspective, Columbine happened in 1999. So I guess it was 8 years after that. What I loved about this book was the story's told from a lot of different perspectives. It's told from, you get the perspective of the shooter, the perspective of the shooter's mother, the perspective of the high school jock who maybe was kind of a bully. You get the perspective of the judge presiding over the trial and also the key witness who happens to be the judge's daughter and a former childhood friend of the shooter. And I loved how she caused you to feel, I don't want to say empathy because that might be too strong of a word, but at least understand a little bit all these different perspectives, even ones you would not think you could kind of understand going into it.
Yes, I agree with that. I think she does that with a lot of her books. You kind of see the other side of someone you would normally never. Like I'm thinking Small Great Things.
Which I have not read that one of hers yet.
Oh, that one's amazing.
Oh, I got to put that on my backlist TBR.
Yes.
I think she, and this is why I love her, is most of her books are about a moral dilemma where there's just no good solution and every solution has downsides. And she kind of just dives in there and gets in the muck with all that.
Absolutely.
And I really love that about her. So if y'all have not read this one yet, 19 Minutes by Jodi Picoult. Is that your favorite of her books?
Yes.
Okay.
But I do love them all.
Yeah. It's my favorite of hers too.
It just stuck with me like so many years later.
It was actually on my all-time favorite books list that I keep on my blog for a while. I did take it off recently because I just wonder how a reading of it would stand up for me now compared to the other books on the list. I still think I would really love it now, whether it's one of my all-time favorite books I've ever read at this point, I couldn't be sure of, and it's been so long since I read it, so I took it off that list for now. All right, let's talk about the new books you love. Tell me about your first one.
Big Lies in a Small Town by Diane Chamberlain. And she's an author that reminds me in a way of Jodi Picoult. So it's not surprising to me that this is on my list. This is a story about also in dual timelines.
I was going to say, this is a theme for you, dual timelines.
Yes, apparently that is something that I like, which I don't think I really realized until I was putting together this list.
I also feel like a lot of books these days have dual timelines. I feel like it's a little bit of a trend.
Yes.
You see that a lot these days.
Yes, that is true. So Big Lies in a Small Town is about, well, one timeline is about an artist in the 1940s who is chosen to paint a mural in this small town in North Carolina. So this artist is originally from New Jersey, and she was selected to paint a mural in North Carolina in the 1940s. And when she goes down there, the cultural differences are very eye-opening to her, and there's a lot more prejudices down there than she might have been used to in her life in New Jersey. So that's kind of the past timeline. And then in the present, there's another artist in 2018 who's been chosen to restore this mural from the 1940s. And this artist, her name's Morgan, she kind of had a rocky past. She was in a correctional center, but she was specifically chosen to restore this mural in this small southern town. You see how the past and the present intersect and how they are, like how they come together. And I just think the way that Diane Chamberlain kind of weaves the story together in the dual timelines, I think is done like very, very well. And you start to see little connections right away, wherein sometimes when there's dual timelines, you don't really understand the connections until the very end. I like that little pieces started coming together earlier.
Yeah, that bothers me sometimes when I'm like, how are these things going to connect? And I don't see any threads for too long in the book, I guess.
Yeah.
That bugs me a little bit.
It's like two separate books and then at the end they connect. But this one is like, right, you could really see it right away. So I really enjoyed that.
Did you like both timelines equally?
I did. I have a note here that they were equally fascinating. To your question, a lot of times you're like, oh, I just want to get back to this timeline.
Right. I end up feeling that way sometimes.
Yeah. But with both of these, when it ended, I was like, oh, no, I want more. And then I would jump into like the next timeline. So I thought it was done very well.
Oh, good. And y'all, you might remember hearing a little bit about this book because Amy from the Bless Your Heart Book Club, we did a Southern Books episode way back in the beginning of fall. It was episode 30. She shared this book as her upcoming release that she was excited about, but she had not read it yet. So now we are circling back with somebody who's actually read the book, which I always like to do.
And I will say also that Diane Chamberlain is an author that I'm now currently
doing the backlist.
Yeah, reading some of her backlist books, and I'm loving all of them. So that's fun.
Have you read The Dream Daughter yet?
Yes, that was the first one of hers that I read.
Oh, good. Because do you listen to the Currently Reading podcast?
Yes.
They did it for a book club, right?
or a buddy read or something like that on there?
It might have been a patron book club.
Ah, yes. Okay. But they talked about it a little bit on the regular show as well.
Yeah, that was a great one also.
That was Big Lies in a Small Town by Diane Chamberlain, and that came out in January. Tell me about the second new book you love, which I'm excited to hear your thoughts on because I have The Galley sitting on my Kindle and just have not picked it up yet.
The second new book that I loved was Darling Rose Gold by Stephanie Roble, and this is coming out Tuesdays.
And also, before you go on, let me just tell you all, this will probably also sound familiar to you because I did share this book on the Winter 2020 book preview episode with Catherine from Gilmore Guide to Books. I had not read it yet. I still haven't read it. So again, we're circling back to something that we talked about before, but we had not read at the time that we talked about it. Okay, go ahead.
I was lucky enough to get a galley of this one from NetGalley, and I was really excited to read it before it's released. And the premise of it is that there's a mother-daughter relationship. The daughter's name is Rose Gold. She was always very sick growing up, but no doctors or tests could figure out what was really wrong with her. And this is not a spoiler. This is like all in the blurb. So it turns out that her mom was suffering from Munchausen's by proxy. And that's been like a topic that's been in a few books recently, but I think it's just so,
yes,
so fascinating that like I want to read more books about it. And what was unique to this book was that the story was after the mom was punished and served her time in prison. So you really see how the disease affects them after it's been discovered. No, I just think that's something unique that you don't see in the other books about this disease.
Right. And from what I understand and from what I've read about it, this book is based on the real life story of Dee Dee Blanchard, and that made national news. But I started to Google that story and then I saw some things on headlines and I was like, "Ooh, I don't want to know this." So if you do want to read this book, I would recommend you not Google the Dee Dee Blanchard story until after you finish the book. I don't know, since I haven't read the book yet, I don't know if the plot points are exactly the same or not, but I would hate for them to be, and then it ruined it for me.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the real life case, so I can't comment on that either.
Yeah, and there was also an HBO documentary called Mommy, Dead, and Dearest.
Oh, I did hear about that, yes.
Which is about the same story. All right, that was Darling Rose Gold by Stephanie Roble, and it's coming out on Tuesday. Tell me about the book you did not love.
So the book I did not love was Topics of Conversation by Miranda Popke, and this book was not on my radar at all, but it was a book of the month pick, I think in January.
Yes, that's right.
That's why I selected it and picked it up. And I ended up not finishing it at 50%, which feels like a long way to go, but it's a really short book. So it was only about 100 pages in. And I'm trying to summarize this book, but it really felt like maybe where I had stopped, but it didn't really have much of a purpose. And there didn't seem to be a plot. Like, I couldn't decide if it was plot driven or character driven. I mean, ultimately, I would say character driven because I thought there was almost no plot.
That's what I kept seeing on Goodreads about this book, the knock on it.
Yeah, it was just not the book for me. I think if you're like really into deep character driven books, then maybe it could be for you. But yeah, just it was a no for me.
And I think it's told in little vignettes of conversation. So I would say, I mean, I haven't read this, but just from what I've heard about it, even if you love character-driven books, it's not like a start-to-finish story, if you will,
yeah,
that's character-driven. It's little, like, snippets that don't feel like a story itself.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I almost wonder if it would be better on in, like, an audio format.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
I'm not sure that I'm going to try it, but I would be curious to talk to someone who did listen to it.
I don't know anyone that's listened to it, and I will say that, first of all, the big comparison about this book was to Jenny Offal's Department of Speculation, which I did not love. So I never picked this one up.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, or maybe like 5 years ago. But it's also this experimental format structure type of thing that works for some people and really doesn't work for other people. And since this was announced as a book of the month pick, I really haven't heard much about it. That's not a good sign, right?
Yeah, no, I would agree.
It's just gone like crickets.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad I tried it because it's outside of my comfort zone, but it didn't work for me.
Do you want to take a guess what the average Goodreads rating is?
Ooh, I want to say it's less than 3.
You're right. It's 2.8 stars.
Wow.
Goodreads ratings, I feel like, rarely dip below 3.
Yeah.
I looked at that. I was like, ooh, yikes, that is super low.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one then.
And then a couple other Goodreads reviewers mentioned that they found it interesting to read critics' reviews of this book, which seemed to be pretty glowing.
Oh.
Versus regular readers, like people that are on Goodreads, which seemed to be along the lines of, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's where I fell.
Yeah. So there's that. All right. That was Topics of Conversation by Miranda Popke. And that came out in January. Let's talk about the new release that you are looking forward to. And I suspect a lot of people are going to be looking forward to this one.
Yes, I am so excited for this summer when this book comes out. It is What You Wish For by Catherine Center. She wrote two books that I discovered from Book of the Month Club, which were Things You Save in a Fire and before that, How to Walk Away. And I loved both of those books, so I'm really excited for her new release. So this is about an elementary school librarian who has a new principal at the school that she works for. And this principal used to be her teacher and her crush when she was very young.
I think it's the new principal comes in and his management style is really different from the previous principal. And the school starts to become more like a prison. And the teacher then tries to fight to save the culture of the school. But that does not sound like a Catherine Center book to me. Does it sound like one to you?
It doesn't, but I'm almost wondering if the blurb is more giving away less details because her name is more well known now.
Right. It does seem like a very high level blurb, which I appreciate. I sometimes feel like publishers' blurbs get way too nitty gritty about plot details that I do not want to know before I read the book.
Yeah, I agree. And Catherine Center is also someone who, other than the two that I mentioned, I haven't read her backlist yet, but I want to because I really, really loved the ones that I have read.
I loved How to Walk Away. And Catherine Center is the type of author that I normally would not be drawn to, but I really did love How to Walk Away. It was so refreshing and it just, a break from my regular type of reading that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I did not love Things to Save in a Fire. I couldn't get through. I think I think I DNF'd it around 15-20% or so. I just found the main character's shtick tiresome. The I'm so tough. I don't love anybody. I'll never love because I'm so tough.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a little heavy-handed with that. But the reviews for this one are, we said Topics of Conversation was a 2.8 on Goodreads. This is a 4.57.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is super high. And I know that Steph Hockersmith, who y'all probably have never heard of the name Steph Hockersmith, but you have heard of Pie Lady Books, I bet you.
Oh, yes.
And she's going to be coming on the podcast next week too, y'all. And she gave this book 5 stars.
Oh, good.
She also baked a beautiful pie to go with the book cover that is already on Instagram if you want to check that out.
Oh, I love her pictures. They always make me hungry, though.
Oh, no kidding, right? Well, you will love next week's episode. We go deep into all of her processes and how she does everything and why she does everything and all that good stuff.
Oh, awesome.
All right. So that was What You Wish For by Catherine Center. And that is coming out July 14th. I suspect that'll be a pretty big book this summer. And I also suspect it'll be a Book of the Month pick.
I was wondering that.
They love their repeat authors, right?
Yes, they do.
Although I was positive 8 Perfect Murders was going to be a pick in March because that would have been a repeat for Peter Swanson. And I've heard really good things about it. And also there's a bookish element to it. And it wasn't.
Yeah. I was disappointed.
I know. I sort of had that in my head that I was going to pick that one. But I'm trying something new, which might work out really well for me. So we'll see. All right. Tell everybody where they can find you online before we go.
So I can be found on Instagram at Game of Reading, where I share all of the books that I've read this year and my reviews. Some backlist, some new books. I like to keep a mix of both. But yeah, mainly on Instagram at Game of Reading.
Thank you so much for coming on. And everybody, if you'd like to get bonus episodes of the podcast, including a monthly solo episode where I share my own book recommendations in the same format as the regular show, you can subscribe for $5 a month, and there's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio. Next week, as I mentioned earlier, will be a full-length episode featuring Steph Hockersmith, who's also known as Pie Lady Books, and I've already recorded it. It was so much fun to record. I feel like I learned so much, And I think y'all are going to really enjoy this one. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions. You can find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. And if you'd like to get exclusive bonus episodes of the podcast, you can support us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/sarahsbookshelves. And there's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Thanks for listening.